Headlines: Iran once again rejects Ukrainian officials' allegations that Tehran is supplying drones to Russia, urging them to show evidence to prove their claims. Russia denies Western claims that it uses Iranian drones in the Ukraine war, saying any UN probe into origin of drones would be unprofessional and political. Israeli forces kill another Palestinian in east of the occupied Al-Quds, claiming he was carrying a gun and tried to attack them. Welcome to World News from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Our top story this hour: Russia denies Western claims that Iran supplied it with the drones to use in the Ukraine war, warning the UN against conducting a probe into such claims. Addressing a UN Security Council session, Russia's deputy UN ambassador described such allegations as, quote, baseless accusations and conspiracy theories. Dmitry Polyansky said the drones used by the Russian army in Ukraine are manufactured in Russia. He added that any UN probe into the origin of the drones was absolutely unprofessional and political. Polyansky warned that Russia would reassess cooperation with the UN chief Antonio Guterres if he went on with the probe. The Iranian UN envoy also rejected Western claims on Iran's drones as, quote, unfounded and unsubstantiated. Western countries argue that Iran is selling drones to Russia in violation of UN Security Council Resolution 2231. The resolution's ban on Iran's conventional arms sales expired in 2020. So Tehran has once again denied Kiev's claims about supplying Russia with drones to be used in its war against Ukraine. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian said military cooperation between Tehran and Moscow dates back to many years ago, but Iran has not supported Russia's war against Ukraine. The top diplomat said Tehran is strongly against the war and arming of the two sides in the Ukraine war. He said Tehran has asked the Ukrainian officials to provide any evidence they have regarding the use of Iranian drones in the war against their country. Amir Abdullahian made the comments in a phone conversation with his Croatian counterpart, Gordan Grlić Radman. Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi says the country's definitive position is to oppose the war in Ukraine. He says Tehran is ready to use all its capacities, including in the field of diplomacy, to end the war. Raisi made the remarks in a phone call with Polish President Andrzej Duda. He rejected biased and undocumented claims by the West and the U.S. regarding Iran's position on the Ukraine war. Raisi said such claims stem from partial policies of Western governments, especially the U.S., toward Iran. He noted that Tehran has historical and all-out relations with both Russia and Ukraine. Duda, for his part, said Iran has always sought to promote and bolster global peace and stability. He also called for further expansion of the two countries' relations in bilateral and international areas. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says his country has always stood up against the West's propaganda and will never give in to such campaigns. Ayatollah Khamenei made the remarks in a meeting with hundreds of young Iranian elites and those excelling in scientific fields. He rejected as wrong and unrealistic the notion that the Islamic Republic is on the verge of collapse. Ayatollah Khamenei said the enemies have been engaged in such negative campaigns for the past 4 decades, but Iran's stability and continuity of its revolution have proved them wrong. He also referred to the role of universities in thwarting the plots of arrogant powers.
Donishka. یکی از بزرگترین موانع در مقابل سلطه استکباره. دانشگاه باید این رو بدونیم ما. دست قدرت‌های گردن کلفت جهانی هدفشون سلطه است. به چه وسیله؟ یک روز با با اسلحه، یک روز با فریب، یک روز با علم. با علم هم سلطه پیدا میکنه. دانشگاه جلو سلطه رو میگیره. یعنی شما اگر چنانچه توانیستی سطح علم کشور رو بیارید بالا، در مقابل سلطه دشمن یک مانع ایجاد کرد.
Ayatollah Khamenei was referring to the recent riots that spread to some universities where lecturers and students were pushed not to attend their classes. The riots began following the death of a young woman in hospital days after she collapsed at a police station last month. A forensic investigation dismissed allegations that she was beaten and attributed her death to an underlying condition. Canada has imposed new sanctions on 6 Iranian individuals and 4 entities over alleged human rights violations in the country. The newly sanctioned persons and entities include Iranian military figures, the Constitutional Council and the Assembly of Experts. Canada's Foreign Minister Melanie Joly has accused Iran of what she called human rights violations and threatening regional peace and security. Ottawa had already sanctioned 3 Iranian entities and 17 individuals. Ottawa has cited alleged rights violations during the recent riots in Iran. Tehran says Canada is in no position to question other countries over human rights, citing the country's own crimes against indigenous people. And Iran's foreign minister says sanctions have become a modern tool for the U.S. to violate human rights. He made the statement during a visit to Iran's EB House, an NGO which supports patients with rare skin disorders. Saman Kajouri has the details.
Iran's foreign minister Amir Abdullahian has paid a visit to EB House, an NGO supporting patients suffering from a rare skin disorder that causes the skin to become fragile, known as epidermolysis bullosa. During the visit, which came on the occasion of the EB Awareness Week, Iran's top diplomat said imposing unilateral sanctions have become a modern tool for the U.S. to violate human rights.
Imposing unilateral sanctions have become a modern tool for the U.S. to violate human rights. There are 1,300 EB patients in Iran, but Sweden refuses to give special bandages to these patients. This comes as Westerners have repeatedly declared that sanctions do not include patients and medicine, but in practice, they act the opposite.
The Swedish company Mölnlycke Healthcare has refused to sell Iranian EB patients medical care items they needed, including Mepilex dressings. Several children in Iran who suffered from epidermolysis bullosa lost their lives due to the lack of urgently needed medical equipment, and some others were hurt by severe physical injuries, including amputation.
Iran has serious problems in procuring wound dressings for EB patients. These dressings are produced in Sweden, but the country refrains from providing us with the bandages because of the U.S. sanctions. Our center has filed a lawsuit in the judiciary of the Islamic Republic to pursue the problem, and we expect the Foreign Ministry and the administration of President Raisi to follow up the case because the lives of my daughter and other patients are in danger.
Many human rights groups have criticized the U.S. for cutting off banking ties with Iran through threatening international banks with punitive fines by the U.S. Department of Treasury, which has resulted in cutting Iranian patients' access to necessary medical items. Tens of Iranian EB patients, mostly children, have died since Swedish company Mölnlycke stopped selling its dressings to Iran. Since then, for EB survivors, the pain has increased by 70%.
Iran says the West is taking revenge on Iranians by waging a campaign of genocide against patients, believing that the sanctions have become the backbone of the so-called American human rights regulations. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Moving now to the occupied Palestinian territories, where Israel's bloody violence shows no sign of abating. The regime forces have killed yet another Palestinian in the occupied West Bank. Media have cited an Israeli statement that says a Palestinian man was fatally shot at the entrance of a settlement in east of Al-Quds. The statement claims the man was carrying a gun and tried to attack the Israeli guards stationed near a checkpoint. A guard is said to be slightly injured during the incident. Israel has intensified its deadly crackdown against Palestinians in the occupied territories. More than 120 people have been killed in Israeli attacks this year so far. The Syrian president says unity among Palestinians is the basis of their resistance against the Israeli regime. Bashar al-Assad made the comment in a meeting with Palestinian resistance groups in Damascus. Assad said the efforts to wipe out Palestinian aspirations has not been fruitful and will never be. The Syrian president added, "What is happening in the Palestinian territory shows that the new generation continues to adhere to resistance." Assad stressed that resistance is not a point of view, but a principle and the basis of rights.
A high-ranking Palestinian delegation has met Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. Arriving from Algeria, officials discussed the result of their meetings there for reconciliation among Palestinians. Assad underlined the importance of unity among Palestinians as a source of strength in the face of the Israeli aggression and for regaining their rights. He asserted that Syria will always remain in support of resistance against Israel. Members of the delegation expressed appreciation for Syria's historic support to Palestinians, describing it as their safe haven during hardships. They said they stand beside Syria in this years-long war waged by the U.S. and its allies. Following the meeting, representatives of Palestinian factions held a press conference.
The president welcomed us in an open heart and expressed Syria's love to Palestine, Palestinians, Palestinian cause and resistance, as well as determination for this meeting to pave the way for a new phase of relations between Syria and Palestinian factions.
The most significant aspect of the visit was that Hamas officials were present. This is their first visit to Syria in a decade after they left, cutting ties with the Syrian government at the start of Syria's crisis. During the press conference, Hamas officially announced the restoration of relations with Syria.
This is a glorious and important day. We restore our presence in Syria and joint action with Syrian-based Palestinian factions and the Syrian government in support of our cause. We told Assad that we support a unified Syria and we are against any aggression on Syria.
The visit comes shortly after Palestinian factions came together under Algerian Reconciliation Initiative, in which they met and agreed to end disputes and division for the sake of unifying ranks in the face of Israel. Palestinian factions' visit to Syria reiterates the Arab country's pivotal role in supporting Palestinian resistance against Israel, even during the war it is facing. And receiving Hamas officials in Damascus is yet another proof of Syria's commitment to the Palestinian cause, despite Hamas's stance over the Syrian crisis and disagreements in 2012. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
The British Prime Minister Liz Truss has faced tough grilling in Parliament over her controversial tax cuts plan she was forced to abandon. Opposition Labour Party leader Keir Starmer mocked Truss over her U-turn.
I've got the list here. 45p tax cut, gone. Corporation tax cut, gone. 20p tax cut, gone. 2-year energy freeze, gone. Tax-free shopping, gone. Economic credibility, gone. And her supposed best friend, the former Chancellor, he's gone as well. They're all gone. So why is she still here?
Starmer was taking aim at the Premier during a question time session held less than 2 days after the new finance minister said he will reverse almost all tax measures announced by his predecessor. Another Labour MP, Sarah Owen, called on Truss to step down, saying it's better for her to quit and call a general election. Truss, however, brushed aside those calls. She boasted her resolve to keep fighting despite growing voices questioning her ability to rule the country.
Mr. Speaker, I am a fighter and not a quitter.
Meanwhile, Truss's popularity has dropped significantly with her Conservative Party. Polls indicate she has become the most unpopular prime minister just 6 weeks in office. At least five Tory MPs have demanded a substitute for her in Downing Street. Truss is under fire for her so-called mini-budget, which intended to slash a host of taxes without a curb on spending. The plan that was unveiled in late September sent markets into turmoil and led to a drop in the value of the British pound against the dollar. Afterwards, she sacked her close ally Kwasi Kwarteng as finance minister. The newly appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, has reversed the decision to cut taxes for the richest earners and the companies making profits. Staying with news from the UK, the British Interior Minister has stepped down from the cabinet of embattled Prime Minister Liz Truss. Suella Braverman tendered her resignation after it was reported that she had broken rules by sending an official document from her personal email. In her resignation letter posted on Twitter, Braverman admitted to making a mistake, saying she takes responsibility. The outgoing minister, however, criticised Truss in the letter, saying she has concerns about the direction of the government. Braverman was also at odds with the Premier over immigration policies. The Interior Minister's departure sounds the alarm that other cabinet members might follow in her footsteps and quit. That also resonates what happened to former Prime Minister Boris Johnson as he faced a torrent of resignations during his last days in office. Divisions remain in the European Union over how to deal with the bloc's energy crisis. Tens of thousands of businesses in the EU face the prospect of going bust due to rising electricity prices. Well, that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The media is in the hands of Zionists and their partners in Washington. They cover whatever events they want, and they ignore what they think is not necessary to be heard by world people. The issue of Palestine has always been one of those hot issues that the Western media tries to ignore. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more.
Thank you.
The website of Palestine Chronicle wrote, just in 2022, with nearly 3 months still to go, more than 160 Palestinians have been killed on the West Bank amid scenes of rampaging settlers on Palestinian land and ceaseless provocations on the Haram al-Sharif by extremists, as if any Zionist is not by definition an extremist. Many of the West Bank dead are children who indeed have been the victims in their thousands ever since 1948, when they were slaughtered with their families or died on the road from thirst, hunger, and exposure after being driven out of their homes and towns by European colonists who brought their sick racist ideology to Palestine. It was not just Palestine, of course, but the children of other countries, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan, whose innocent lives were cut short in the raids and missile attacks of these killers. Most of these epithets have been forgotten. One thinks of the bombing of the primary school in the Egyptian town of Bahr al-Bagr on April 8, 1970, when 46 children were killed and more than 50 wounded. The tools used to kill them were American F-4 Phantom jet fighter aircraft and missiles. Did the U.S. restrain its vicious little friend? No, it accepted that this was just another mistake, like the deliberate air and sea attack on the USS Liberty in 1967, which left 34 seamen dead and dozens wounded. The killing of children moves forward year after year up to and beyond the localized genocide at Sabra and Shatila in 1982. As the Zionist regime is never punished, whatever the heinous nature of its crimes, like any criminal who is never caught, it continues doing what it has always done best, apart from sucking tens of billions of dollars out of the American taxpayers' pockets, which is killing civilians in Palestine or around its borders. Take as a representative example the young American Jew who goes to the occupied territories and joins the army or the border police. He or she stands at a checkpoint, shoots at unarmed or scarcely armed Palestinian dead, and goes back to New York and wherever as a hero in the war on terrorism, as they call it. Bravery is not required, just a bit of easily acquired expertise in handling an assault rifle and the ability to kill someone a couple of meters away. That someone might be a woman approaching armed men and women slouching around the checkpoint. They are heavily armed and in no danger, but the woman is in deadly danger. Of course, she knows it all. She would be a most unusual Palestinian if she did not have a husband, children, brothers, parents, grandparents, and cousins who had not been killed by these people. As brave as she can be in her determination to do something for the resistance, she approaches the checkpoint. She might have a knife in the hand, but she still could easily be disarmed by one soldier knocking the knife out of her hand. She could be disabled with a leg wound, but instead she is deliberately shot and left to die where she falls. If she does not die immediately, with no ambulance called in time to save her, the young American can go home as a hero with the credit of killing what they baselessly call terrorists. These murders, let us not call them anything else, are not aberrant but normative behavior in a state which has bred generation and generation of psychopaths. As further evidence in the glee shown by snipers killing Palestinians, young and old, through the Gaza fence. Also, the Defense of Children International has more than 35 branches, one of them Palestinian. This gives a grand total of 2,224 deaths. The 2022 figure does not include the number killed in Operation Breaking Dawn in August, as at the date of the publication of these figures, they were still being collated. Neither does it include the latest killings. Furthermore, the year still has a long way to go, and more children are going to be killed. The hypocrisy of the so-called West is something we can take for granted, because it is no more than typical of its behavior. But these are innocent children whose deaths should be the cause of outrage and demands that the Zionist regime be shown the door from the UN and any other credible international organization. Of the number of children listed as killed from 2000 to 2022, 514 were aged 8 or under. Sometimes we see the faces, but never in the Western media, which rarely even names them. Their names and their faces should be front page news.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us ponder on a beautiful statement from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Often your utterances and expressions of your face reveal the secrets of your hidden thoughts.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, criticism and admonition between friends. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Now, in today's lesson, we're talking about the criticism and the admonition between friends. The relationship between friends continues for a long period of time, or even to the end of their lives. And over this period of time, they exchange their habits and morals, whether good or bad. However, committing mistakes is the nature of a human being. None of us is infallible, except those purified by the Almighty Allah. Men sometimes commit mistakes towards their Lord and towards themselves and or towards the people in their society or in the society that they're living in. Whoever has a mistake committed to him, no doubt will show his reaction, and his type of reflection differs according to the type and amount of the mistake committed, and likewise according to the person concerned. So some become angry, thereby uttering bad words, while others remain silent, as if they are unaware that a mistake has been committed. So he controls himself and continues the relationship no matter how small or big the mistake might be. Now, dealing with the mistakes of friends has its moral basis. Because when a friend commits a mistake to his friend, for instance, he directed a bad word to him. For instance, let's say, for example, a friend has directed a bad word to the other particular friend, or maybe has cheated him financially or socially. He should approach him mildly for his mistake, because exercising patience from natural mistakes of others is a major basis in a friend's life. Whoever is not able to accommodate others' mistakes automatically can never be able to live with them. But whoever crosses the limit of good morals, inflicting harm to his friend, then it is not right to take him as a friend. So one of the main things that we need to look at in a relationship between two friends is for us to make sure that we are controlling how we are criticizing the other party, the other side of our friendship.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. We're talking about the criticism between friends. Criticizing and following a friend if he or she makes a mistake is not something bad. Rather, it is obligatory. It is wajib in order to correct him so that the relationship can continue. But it is wrong to admonish your friend in all matters, or maybe to criticize him to the extent of you hurting his feelings. We must respect the feelings of our friends and present criticism in a word acceptable to them. So if we want our friend to accept our criticism, we must also accept his criticism and admonition. And we should open our hearts and mind to accept it. Because man, definitely, most of the time he commits mistakes, but sensible criticism helps in correcting and wiping out the mistakes, as well as adjusting him. So we need to control how we are criticizing others, how we are speaking to them, how it's going to make them feel whenever we say a few words in form of criticizing. And this might definitely improve the relationship between to friends. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five of the fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Businesses belonging to former U.S. President Donald Trump charged Secret Service agents more than $1.4 million, despite claims from members of the Trump family that Secret Service agents could stay at their properties for either free or for low rates. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's company charged Secret Service agents exorbitant rates to stay at Trump properties while protecting him and his family, according to documents released by a House committee on Monday, 17th of October. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform released records that show that Trump's business billed the Secret Service above standard cost more than 40 times, charging as much as $1,185 per room per night, more than five times the government rate. During his presidency, Donald Trump traveled often to his properties in Florida and in New Jersey, bringing with him Secret Service agents for protection and charging them for their stays, sometimes at his own properties. Building on previous reporting on the controversial practice, the committee revealed that Donald Trump's business charged a law enforcement agency more than $1.4 million from 2017 to 2021, despite claims from members of Donald Trump's family that Secret Service agents could stay at their properties for either free or for low rates. The exorbitant rates charged to the Secret Service agents' frequent stays at Trump-owned properties raised significant concerns about the former president's self-dealing, and may have resulted in a taxpayer-funded windfall for former President Trump's struggling businesses, according to Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York, the committee chairperson, who wrote in a letter to Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York wrote in the letter requesting more information from the Secret Service that the committee has been seeking a full accounting of the Secret Service's expenditures at Trump Organization properties for more than 2 years, but does not yet have the complete picture of the total amount paid to the former president's businesses. The British newsletter The Guardian has more on the same story. The US Secret Service was made to pay as much as $1,185 a night to stay at properties belonging to former President Donald Trump, a congressional committee said on Monday, 17th of October, as it released documents that appeared to show the former president profiting from his protection details in and out of office. All told, the Secret Service, which is mandated by law to protect the president and his family, spent $1.4 million at Trump-owned properties in the United States, according to records obtained by the Democratic-led House Oversight Committee as part of its investigation into Trump conflicts of interest. The exorbitant rates charged to the Secret Service and agents' frequent stays at Trump-owned properties raised significant concerns about the former president's self-dealing and may have resulted in a taxpayer-funded windfall for former President Trump's struggling businesses. The committee chair, the New York representative Carolyn Maloney, said in a statement. The documents contradicted statements from the former president's son, Eric Trump. In 2019, Eric Trump claimed the Secret Service was charged like $50 for hotel rooms. The following year, he said, we provide the rooms at cost and could make far more money renting them to members or guests. According to the House Committee, between January of 2017 and September of 2021, there were at least 40 instances where the government paid room fees in excess of normal rates. The charges could be up to three times as much as per the standard rate, Carolyn Maloney wrote in a letter to the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle. The committee produced documents in which agents staying for protection purposes at properties including the Trump International Hotel in Washington and Mar-a-Lago in Florida repeatedly wrote, standard rates could not be obtained. The committee began investigating potential entanglements between Trump businesses and the activities of the president in February of 2020. It noted, the Secret Service's productions have been incomplete and do not provide the committee with a complete picture of its spending at Trump-owned properties. Hungry humans. Part 3.
This is the battlefield. A manifestation of humans' cruelty. Everything happens fast and in a riotous way in the battlefield. But sometimes wars are silent and hidden with an attractive and charming look.